The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on January 22nd, 2017.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 27, verses 1 and then 4 through 9, read responsively, and it can be found in the Pew Bible in the Old Testament on page 391. I will read the first verse, and you can join in on the fourth and then the odd verses, the even verses thereafter. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he will hide me in his shelter and in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices, shouts of joy. I will sing the melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Thus is the reading of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, where last week we encountered Jesus as he returned from the wilderness in the Gospel of Luke. Today we hear what Jesus did when he came back from the wilderness through the story in the Gospel of Matthew. Beginning in chapter 4, verse 12 through verse 23, and you can find it on page 3 in your Pew Bibles in the New Testament. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. In this story from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus receives word that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been arrested and is imprisoned by the emperor, Herod Antipas. This is the event that precipitates his own public ministry in the Gospel of Matthew. We heard about Jesus' first act of public ministry last week in the Gospel of Luke, when he preached at his hometown temple in Nazareth and was driven out of town and nearly off a cliff by the angry townspeople. But in Matthew, it is the news that John has been arrested, which prompts Jesus to lay down his saw and hammer and to begin his ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing in God's name. John is the forerunner to Jesus in many ways. It is John who first recognizes the divinity of Jesus, even while they are both still in their mother's wombs. It is John who tells the people of the one who is to come after him, the one who will baptize them in spirit and in fire. As he begins to attract followers, John is always pointing to Jesus. He's building a movement that will continue when Jesus begins his public ministry. Jesus leaves his home and goes to Galilee, and from that time he began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And from the first fisherman that answered his call, the movement continued to grow, even in the face of overwhelming opposition and fear. Matthew describes the compulsion Jesus feels as prophetic fulfillment, writes Brett Younger. When Isaiah wanted to speak to our deepest longings, the prophet chose light as the symbol because he knew how dark the world could be. What can Isaiah say that will bring hope? Hope to these lands, Zebulun and Naphtali, that have been repeatedly invaded and forced into exile. Isaiah preaches, "You live in darkness, but take hope, for a light is shining. I know things are dismal, but your despair will become joy." Today, in our world, we are the people who sit in darkness. We sit in the darkness of fear, conflict, and confusion. The daily news is filled with stories of darkness. Yet when life is darkest, even the faintest flicker makes us breathe a little faster and open our eyes a little wider. We long for light because we understand that the world is dark. Light is the promise that something important is on its way. Better to light a candle than to curse the darkness, Eleanor Roosevelt once said. When the world around us seems the darkest, that is when the light shines most brightly. Reverend Dr. William Barber, leader of the Moral Monday and Moral Revolution that began in North Carolina as a public witness at the State House in 2013, talks about the importance of bringing people together for a common cause, to build a movement, not a moment, he says. "I'm glad to be alive with so many others who say we will never give up on the heart of this democracy. We are going to be the moral defibrillators of our time and shock the heart of this nation and build a movement of resistance and hope and justice and love." I was so moved by participating in that movement yesterday with hundreds of thousands of women, men, and children here in Boston, across our nation, and indeed around the world, who came together in solidarity for the women's marches yesterday. We were demonstrating as we chanted that a people united can never be divided, with our slogans and with our feet. The marches and rallies were, in many cases, much larger than organizers had anticipated, but they were all peaceful and had a spirit of unity, even as many different causes and ideas were represented. In downtown Boston, the Boston Police Department and state troopers that lined the march route to keep the marchers safe, and many of us thanked them for their service as we passed them. One mother shared that her little 4-year-old daughter wanted to talk to every officer she saw, and they all greeted her with a hello, a smile, and a high five or a hug. Jesus began his ministry in a time of darkness, when Herod ruled the land with deadly consequences for those who dared to resist. His movement started out small, with a call to 4 fishermen, ordinary men living ordinary lives, supporting their families, and doing what it takes to survive. And they heard something in that call. Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John, something that compelled them to just drop everything. Literally drop their nets, leave their father in the boat, and follow Jesus. They didn't know where this new path might take them or what challenges they would face. They only knew they had to follow. And from that small band of disciples, Jesus' movement continued to grow and grow and become stronger until it became a threat to the empire itself. And the powerful forces of the world, the religious and political establishment of the day, killed him for it. They crucified him on the cross as an example to others who would challenge the status quo, who would question authority, who would stand up for what is right and just. And they thought that would be the end of the story. They thought that by killing Jesus, they would kill his movement. But they were wrong. So very, very wrong. For we know that after being in the tomb for 2 days and 2 nights, on the 3rd day when the women came to the tomb to anoint his body, Jesus was not there. The tomb stood empty, just his burial cloths to prove where he had been laid. And that, my friends, is the power of the story of our faith. Even death does not have the final word when it comes to God. Christ came to proclaim that peace will overcome hostility. Love will defeat hatred. Fears will become laughter. One day we will not learn war anymore. One day those committed to the way of repentance will be proven right. One day the light will overcome the darkness once and for all. So the movement continued. In those days and throughout the centuries to the present day, more than 2,000 years later, we are still answering Jesus' call to follow where he leads. We are part of a movement that is greater than ourselves, that has persevered throughout many a dark time in history, that has seen generations of believers through the storm to the rainbow on the other side. Brett Younger shares this story from the Jewish Talmud. The Talmud tells of a rabbi who was asked what questions a Jew would have to answer in the last judgment. What would God ask? First, the rabbi thought of the obvious things. Were you honest in business? Did you seek wisdom? Did you keep the commandments? Then a question about the Messiah came into his mind that surprised the rabbi himself. God will ask, did you hope for my Messiah? Is not that the question that Christians will be asked? Did you hope for Jesus? Did you long for the kingdom of heaven proclaimed? Did you put your faith in Christ even when you thought about giving up? Did you live in Christ's light? Since Jesus left home to begin his ministry, countless people have been caught up in Christ's life. So how will you answer that call today? We all have that light of Christ within us. Let it shine forth for all to see, like a candle in the darkness. Amen and amen.
Today's sermon was delivered by Supply Pastor Trina Portillo. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McEninch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2017 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.